KUJZ is 95.3 The Score.
I hope you're ready. It's that time.
This is going to be cool.
Climb aboard for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
A day that will live in sports radio infamy.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
We're talking the big deal, the real deal.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
I am not only drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm the manufacturer.
I am losing my mind.
Tannen, it might be semi-circle time.
Hi, I'm Steve, and, well, I brought a list.
And now, a guy with tons and tons of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
And broadcasting them, searching for answers.
Yeah, what the hell are we doing?
It's Steve Tannen.
Well, hello there. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Friday edition of Sports Talk has arrived. Getting short timers disease, are we? Christmas is Wednesday. I just throw that out there, and there's definitely somebody who says, wow, I better, and fill in the blank. Somebody just ordered something. Somebody just headed to the store. Somebody just hit add to cart. pretty big weekend as bowl season starts. A lot of NBA. Tomorrow we get a triple header of the National Football League. So one more Monday nighter. I know the last week they don't do the Monday nighter. Tomorrow you get Texans, Bucks, Bills, Patriots. Wow. How about throwing that one right in the middle of the day? And then Rams, kind of a last chance saloon taking on Frisco. And then Chiefs Bars are the Sunday nighter. Packers Vikings. Oof. Woof. I'm not sure if you heard me. I say woof on Monday night. That's a WBG. There's a lot on the line. And then looking ahead to week 17, there are just 16 10 o'clock and 1 o'clock games out here. And that's all she wrote. So, a week from dinner Sunday, the regular season is over. Got some hoops to talk about of the college and NBA variety. We've got much going on. We're going to lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So, with the college football season winding down, with us on vacation next week, we're into the countdown to 2020. We dig deep and we look to the million-dollar sandbar known as Miami Beach.
From Miami Beach, the sun and fun capital of the world.
If you haven't won a bet since, well, Britney wore mouse ears, it's the man who created ParamountSports.com on the web.
And here he is.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lee Sterling.
How sweet it is.
All right. Been hitting it huge on our show. More importantly, with his service on Twitter, use the handle at Paramount Sports. Lee Sterling checks in. Mr. Sterling, how's life treating you?
Not bad. Not bad. Just looking forward to a nice weekend. Got a lot of football, a lot of good food, a lot of parties to go to.
Okay. I'll tell you what, I don't know if it's the football or the karma gods, but with Chris Peterson stepping away from Washington, we get his final game against the school where he made his bones, Boise State in Vegas.
Yeah.
It's tomorrow. The Broncos just had that one slip up at BYU, or they might have repped the group of five in a major bowl. The Dogs started the season as a co-favorite in the Northwood Oregon, but stumbled frequently. They are a field goal chalk against Boise State. What are we looking at here?
Well, I think this game, this is not what Chris Peterson wanted. He did not want this game. But here's the problem for Washington. They're going to be without their star tight end. They'll be without their left tackle, who's probably going to play in the NFL if he stays healthy for probably a decade. And then you know, Boise State team, they cycled through three quarterbacks, but finally found a guy in Henderson here. And then got a defensive end, got 13 and a half sacks. I just think they're a hungry team. I think Washington is playing out a streak here, and I think Boise's going to pull these 27-24.
Okay, you just broke up a little bit there. Did you say Boise State 27-24?
Boise.
Yeah, pick him up again. I generally thought he called on a landline. He's usually clean as a whistle, but I heard the it was I thought I was doing war games. Shall we play a game? Because we broke up. It's after a long engagement, we broke up. All right, we're going to be efforting Mr. Sterling diagonally across the country in Miami. We're going to give it one more shot here. All right, so I heard the breakdown. I heard 27-24. I didn't hear who you picked to win.
We're Boise. We're Boise winning that game. Just think that a lot of times these bowl games, it comes all out to effort. And I just don't know that the Washington's going to be there. And, you know, when they go 7-5, that's a major disappointment to them. And I know they'd like to win for their coach going out, but a lot of times we're finding out these coaches that are retiring, they go out losers.
All right, let's get to the Cheez-It Bowl in Phoenix, another Pac-12 team who started well but hit a bunch of speed bumps. Washington State taking on the Air Force Academy. It's kind of funny when you talk about air. Their quarterback has 99 pass attempts, Donnie Hammond, all year. Anthony Gordon of the Cougars, 647. Just an incredible contrast in style. Air Force Academy laying 3. What do you think about this one?
But believe it or not, this Air Force team is very efficient throwing the football. On top of being the number 3 rush offense, and then I know Washington State's number 1, but in offense, their defense, they went from number 42 in the country to 95 this year. Their defensive coordinator quit midseason. I was checking. There is no one on their coaching staff for Washington State that has faced, you know, this type of triple option. And this Air Force team has been under the radar all season. They end up going 10-2. They should have beaten Navy. They had Navy beaten and blew that game, allowed them to go 80 yards on, I think, 4 out of 5 plays were passes. And I just think that they're going to be ready here, and I think they're going to dismantle Washington State here 41-21.
All righty. Talking with Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports to Pasadena after flat performances, losing back-to-back to Illinois, then big at Ohio State. The Badgers turned it around. The defense, Jonathan Taylor. And, of course, after the disappointment at Arizona State cost them the playoffs, Oregon refocused, ended up crushing Utah to win the Pac-12. A really good Big Ten versus Pac-12 matchup. Bucky the Badger laying 2. What say you?
So, Wisconsin here, they gave all they had. All they had left was that first half. And after that, you saw they had nothing in the tank. I just think that if the Oregon offensive and defensive lines can play anywhere close to where they played against Utah, this is a mismatch here. So, we saw what they can do. They have momentum. I think they're recruiting. What happened there, I mean, you know, just garnering another great class is a positive. I think everything is trending upward for the Ducks right now, and I think if they control the line of scrimmage on offense, I think they're going to run all over Wisconsin. These Big Ten teams, you're finding out outside of Ohio State, there was nothing in their conference. And, you know, the Ducks, you throw out that game against Arizona State, and they're playing in the Final Four. I like the Ducks here. I think they win this game here 38-24.
All righty. Clemson just scored their first ever top-rating recruiting class. They may have to rename the ACC the old Clemson Conference. I mean, that's two straight years they've run the table. Ohio State fell second, which meant they drew the Tigers in this game. The Buckeyes, like you mentioned, kind of messed around a bit against Wisconsin and scored the last 27 points. I think you can call this a collision course game. The champs, minus two. Who advances here?
How about this? How would you like to have won the national title, you go undefeated, then the next year you go undefeated and somehow you're ranked third going into the, yeah, the college football championship series? Just absolutely befuddles me. I think that they're playing with a chip on their shoulder. All Ohio State had to do was win the game against Wisconsin by 25, 28 points, and you know, they get to face Oklahoma, but they couldn't get the job done here. As good as Ohio State here is, and Justin Fields, any other year, with 38 touchdowns and two interceptions, he wins the Heisman, but not this year. And as good as Ohio State skill players are, Clemson's are even better. So I like this Ohio State team. I just think that they're third best of the three great teams here. I like Clemson, and what should be an epic game, 38-34.
Yeah, I'm with you. Clemson did nothing to fall in the rankings. Their worst black mark was winning a close game on the road. They won the game. But anyway, the other Final Four game, the Peach Bowl, LSU with the Heisman winner. Joe Burrow and the Tigers ran circles around Georgia. The defense rose up, kept UGA out of the end zone until the fourth quarter. We know Oklahoma kind of snuck in. They lose one of their top defenders for a rule violation, Ronnie Perkins. The books like the Bayou Bengals big in this one. That's a big number, laying 13. Yep. Who you liking here?
Well, here's the problem for Oklahoma. I think they've got to play with the lead. If they fall behind, then they become one-dimensional, and that's where LSU's defense plays much better. LSU's defense then can pin their ears back. They got a lot of kids that can rush the quarterback. They got some linebackers that can pass rush, and their defensive backs, they jump routes. They're not going to sit there and allow you just to throw the ball underneath against them. So Oklahoma's up against it here. They've got to play with a lead. Maybe they try a trick play to get out on top early, but how do you go against Joe Burrow? He has not had a bad game this year. He's completed almost 78% of his passes. And the Oklahoma defense, their front seven, they just don't get off blocks, and their back four, they just don't make enough plays. So I like LSU. I think they're going to be in the finals here against Clemson. I'm going to lay the two. I have them winning this game. I'm sorry, laying 13 points. I haven't won in this game. It's up like 48-28. They'll win the game by 20. They're laying 13.
All right. Your game of the week is next Friday, Holiday Bowl, USC, who kind of hung around until last week of the season in the South. Then they announced another season for Clay Helton. We know Iowa will be inspired with the passing of their legend, Hayden Fry. In this game, that's your game of the week. So let the folks know how to get that one, and you know, all that Paramount Sports has to offer.
So if they want to get the game, just call 800-400-9741. We'll give them the game for free. And three of the last 5 years, we've won at least two out of every three bowl games. So they want to hop on board for the bowl season. We've got 2 weeks left of the NFL season, 43 bowl games. One of those bowl games starts in 15 minutes, and we have a big play on that game. And then also NFL playoffs and Super Bowl. We're going to offer it for the lowest price ever, $297. Just use coupon code SAVE100 at ParamountSports.com. SAVE100, ParamountSports.com. Every game through the Super Bowl, just $297. Steve, I don't know, how many years have we been doing this now? Is it coming up on 20 yet?
I think it's 17. I would have
17?
To, but it's in the neighborhood.
Okay, longer than most marriages. So I want to wish you and your family and staff and all the listeners out there a happy and healthy holiday.
Yeah, right back at you, Lee. It's always been a lot of fun. And next time we talk, it'll be 2020.
That's right. Milestone year, so Have a great time. Everyone be safe, and we'll talk the Friday before the Super Bowl next.
Awesome. Great talking with you, buddy. Take care. All right, before we – oh, wait, we're not up to break time. What are you doing? What are you doing, Steve? What are you doing? By the way, that USC –
what are you doing?
That USC-Iowa game, I'm suddenly very, very intrigued by this one. Iowa is a favorite in this game. And, you know, if you look at their season – the Hawkeyes probably don't pop because they were never really in, like, the playoff. They were sort of in the division conversation. Every one of their three losses was a ball game. They lost by 7 at Michigan. Penn State beat them by 5 at Kinnick. And they lost in Madison to the Badgers by just 2. I've got a feeling that's... Yeah, but like Lee brought up a good point. I don't know beyond Ohio State. There's a really, really, really good team in the Big Ten. And facing that air raid offense of Southern Cal, which had really started to click as the regular season wound down, it's in Southern California. Man, I'll tell you what, it probably turned out to be a really, really good game. All right, 284. 8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Yeah, tomorrow, a week from tomorrow, I'm sorry, that's when the playoffs start. Playoffs. So, what do you got going
Jerry,
on?
Jerry, just remember.
Playoffs? Wow. You bought the Big Apple there. Hitting the wrong bouton. All right. Two eight four eight five seven one, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Could also hit us up via the text line, 321-0824. I was mentioning we've got a double header tomorrow here in town at Matthew Knight Arena. This is the finale for the women before Pac-12 play. They have that oddly scheduled exhibition game against Corbin. I don't even know what that is, by the way. A week from tomorrow. And then Friday the 3rd, they start conference play with the Mountain Schools. Tomorrow, it's Kansas State, noon here. No traditional TV, but that live stream you get at home games, which, hey, for the second half of the last game, they synced it up with Terry's call on the radio, and obviously we'll have the action on KUGN News Talk 590. But Kansas State's got kind of an interesting history. They started their women's basketball program in the late 60s. They were one of the earliest. Their current record is 5-4. Might be a tad misleading. They've been in some really tight games. Number 15, Michigan State, in a tournament in the Bahamas. Had Memphis, but lost the lead late. Their best player is Ioka Lee. By the way, she is a 6'5 force. 16 points, 11 rebounds, 3 blocks. Definitely want to keep an eye on her battle with Ruthie Hebert, or if Giomi is in there, Satu. Yeah, I don't know if we got the word if Satu is still going to be nursing the injury that cost her last game. I guess we'll keep an eye. That's a nooner. I'm looking forward to going to that game for sure. And as for the men, off that really nice win at Michigan, man, they took apart Montana. We got to see Nafali Dante, and then tomorrow night, it's Texas Southern. And, of course, I don't have to tell you, if you follow the men's program closely, remember what happened last November 26th. The Tigers of Texas Southern came to Matt Knight Arena and beat Oregon. And that was when Oregon still had a guy named Bol Bol. Kenny Wooten did not play in that game. He was injured. Bol and Richardson, actually, were the only ones that could pretty much hit water from a boat in the second half of that game. as far as what this season has brought. They had just lost at Nevada Reno after a long layoff, hadn't played in 11 days, and this past Tuesday got waxed by the Wolfpack, who won it going away 91-73. They played Gonzaga at the Puppy Pound earlier this month, got crushed 101-62. I tell you what, say what you want about that program, they play a really ambitious non-conference schedule. I mean, this one, talked about Gonzaga, next Friday against the Arizona State Fighting Hurleys, and then they wrap the non-conference at College Station against Texas A&M, and then SWAC play begins, the SWAC, the Southwestern Athletic Conference. Where they have struggled this season, they allow 80 points a game on defense. It's a lot in college. They're not shooting well, just under 39%, and only 29% from three-point land, and 17 turnovers a game. I'm sure the coaches are not happy about that. This game is 7:30 on the Pac-12 Network, and the action called by Rich Burke and Eldridge Recastner, who was a really, really, really good player at Washington the latter part of the 80s. We had him on the show a couple years ago. Great guy, good analyst for sure. And he's one of those guys, you know, didn't get drafted, but ended up playing in the league for, I think, 6 or 7 years with multiple teams. And, of course, that's the Pac-12 Network. We will have the action with Joey Mack with the pregame at 7 right here on KJZ 95.3, the score. All right, before we make a move, want to give a shout-out to my friends at Small World Auto, 2090 West 11th in Eugene. They're a family-owned automotive service center featuring a state-of-the-art multi-service bay repair shop. And, of course, this time of year, if you're going to get out and about and do some traveling, oh, man, you want to make sure your car is tip-top. So whether it's scheduled maintenance checkpoints, domestic import, if your car needs service, go to Small World Auto. They've got great reputation for integrity. They stand behind their work. Again, at 2090 West 11th in Eugene, call Marty and his staff, 228-9774. The website, smallworldauto.com. All right, that brings us to break time, as it seems we're being very zoomy through this show. And with that thought in mind, we'll take a break, we'll come back, we'll have a Coors Light update, and then we'll talk some Ducks with Jerry Thompson of Ducks Illustrated. I was going to introduce Sterling again. Coming at you next, 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk with Steve Tannen is brought to you by Garrity RV Supercenters. Name one of America's top five RV dealers. They don't just sell fun, they guarantee it. See over 700 options for every budget at Garrity.com.
Ionescu with four. Step back three. Switches a throw. Ionescu gives it up. Kozorba for three. Perhaps the dagger. Inbound Ionescu. The Ducks have done it on the cusp for the last couple years.
A little memory lane highlight going back to the call on ESPN. The gutty step back by Sabrina. Then she feeds Maite Cazorla for the triple threat. That punched their ticket to Tampa, beating Mississippi State at Moda. All right, good stuff there. Great memory. The look on Sabrina's face as she hit that three, kind of backcourt, nodding her head like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And then off of a key inbound, found Cazorla kind of on the left part of the three-point circle, and Maite just splashed it, and the celebration was on. Ticket punched. Final four! As we welcome you back to Sports Talk 95.3 The Score, locking down the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Remember, your texts are always welcome. 3210@24. You can try us on Twitter at 953 the score for the station. For the show, it's at Sports Talk 953. For Nick, it is at Rick Nodgers. But right now, let's get into some Oregon sports chat. The new edition of Ducks Illustrated is out. As you might imagine, pretty basketball, football, and recruiting centric. We bring in JT. Jerry Thompson joins us. How are you doing today, sir?
Great, Steve. Just hot off the press, getting those magazines out today.
Yeah, so once everything is officially delivered, as always, let the folks know where they can pick them up.
Ducks Illustrated free at your local Dairy Marts, Buy Marts, and Oregon Duck stores.
All right, so the tradition of getting a photograph of every recruit who signed continues along a successful line. So you pulled it off again.
Yeah. Well, this is a lot easier than usual. Back in 2001, I had to call the parents and beg for a photo of their son. Call the athletic director, the coach. You know, it's a lot different now online. So this was piece of cake compared to 2001, the first year of Ducks Illustrated.
Wow. Yeah, I remember it well. One of the first articles I wrote, I provided a picture of me outside of Madison Square Garden looking up at a really big banner of Joey Harrington. So,
right.
Yeah, amazing how time flies. By the way, your O&O, observations and opinions. Yeah, since we haven't spoken since, I mean, Oregon beating Utah, I mean, that wasn't water into wine. We all knew they had a shot. But easy to say, most people were surprised that Oregon dominated and kind of kicked their rear ends.
Yeah, if anybody would have told me the score was 20-0 at halftime and I didn't know who was ahead, I would say it was Utah based on how tough their defense is supposed to be and how explosive their offense. But that was like a different set of guys out there for the Ducks. I couldn't, just about fell out of my chair when I saw a quarterback sneak attempted. By my recollection, it's been 11 years since Jeremiah Masoli, the last quarterback, to get behind under center, as they say. And then the running the option six times, according to our colleague Ken Woody, who looks at meticulously at the whole replay of the game. And,
right.
And that was a smart move. I mean, Herbert averaged 5 yards in every carry, and that'll keep the DB and the linebackers, keep them honest, so to speak.
Yeah, as far as recruiting goes, I mean, we know that it's the first time ever with 2 5-stars, and, you know, I don't know what it is. The rankings are all well and good, but it just seems like this coach, his staff, just, would I be accurate to say, just their attitude towards recruiting is more aggressive and obviously looks like maybe more successful than we'd been grown accustomed to here with the Ducks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it kind of started with Willie Taggart. He had the number one recruiting class on paper until he left. So I think he brought with him some people who could, you know, we're really experts in recruiting, as I'd say Mario Cristobal, for one, and he's just tireless. But I think you can be very tireless and work hard, but you have to have the persona of sincerity and honesty and taking care of their young men for 3 or 4 or 5 years. That really is getting through. Otherwise, I don't think it would be this successful. I mean, for the second straight year, we're number one in the Pac-12. So he's doing things right. I don't know when he ever gets any sleep, though.
Yeah. Maybe on the plane rides.
Right.
I guess
he's probably calling them then, talking to recruits in the 2022 class or something.
So while there's much glee in Duckville, I don't care what you're a fan of, who you follow, who you cover. I mean, we talk about surprising. I mean, how borderline mind-boggling was it to see that USC, kind of a cellar dweller in recruiting. USC, how weird is that?
it's so weird. It's never happened. It must be like Halley's Comet or something. I mean, it's never happened. They have only, as I detail, since 2002 when all the websites were doing the recruiting, USC was out of 19 years, they were the number one time or number one team in the Pac-12, 16 out of 19. And only Stanford one time and UCLA and then Oregon in 18 beat them. So, and then, you know, four or five times they were number one in the nation. And most every time they were top 10. So it's got to be Coach Helton's insecurity, so to speak. But you can say there's a trend that of the top 15 rated recruits in California, none of them stayed in California. Not just USC, but UCLA, Stanford, Cal, they all left the state. So there's something about that happening, too.
All right, one other thing about recruiting. Robbie Ashford, so a dual-threat quarterback from Alabama. We know there's going to be a new offensive coordinator. I mean, does that lead you to think that a new style might be coming? Because I think Cristobal has made it pretty apparent. He likes the way the offense is trending with more power-oriented and, you know, but still explosive.
Well, I hope so, because I think it'd be really frustrating for Ashford to come here. They'd have to have some kind of promise or indication that they're going to be a little more wide open as far as using the quarterback with his legs. And they have so much depth now with Chuck and Millen, and then Butterfield, who was very highly rated. But Ashford brings another dimension, come all the way from Alabama. I don't think they're going to come all the way from Birmingham area to be a drop-back pro-style quarterback when your talent is otherwise. So I hope it's a good step forward, and the offensive coordinator will embrace that. Of course, Coach Cristobal calls the shots, so hopefully he's seeing the value of that too.
All right. Well,
it's nice to have some variety, of course. You know, you need more than one quarterback to make it through a season most of the time.
Sure, and obviously that's going to be a big focus with Justin going to the NFL. How about some hoops? When you look at this Oregon team all season long, when we've grown accustomed in the success in recent years, guys like Bol Bol or Jordan Bell or Boucher, Wooten, you know, rim protectors, and it really didn't exist this year. You know, they have, you know, guys who play hard and try and block shots, but man, to get a look, even though it was 14 minutes at Nafali Dante, and I know a lot of people are saying, but Jerry, he just looks like, yeah, that's a piece they really needed.
Yeah, that's your title of Mallard Musings, missing piece. I totally agree. And it's, the nice thing is the other bigger guys like Lawson and C.J. Walker and Okoro are improving. And now with 6'11", he looks 7 feet, really, when you see him on the floor. With him, that's going to complement and take a little bit of the pressure off of them. They can go big sometimes with Okoro and him. And he's just, his hands was what impressed me. He stole the ball a couple of times without fouling. He made these cross-court passes look easy, like a fastball, like a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. I don't know if you saw those passes he made.
Yep.
So he's not just single-dimensional. Looks like he can do it all. He's a little rough now, and of course, and he was pretty winded every time he went down the floor because he hasn't been able to practice very much. But, no, I'm really excited. I mean, the fact that we could beat Michigan and Seton Hall without him and now add him makes some of these preseason addictions look more sane. I thought they were insane with the coaches saying that Oregon was going to be number one in the conference with just two starters back, and one of them, Okoro, who didn't have much of an offensive threat. But Will Richardson has come on, really strong, complete player. I really like this team. They seem like they've got a great spirit about them. Look like they're having fun out there, and I'm excited about what Dante has brought to the team.
Yeah, they're going to be fun to watch. And as far as the women's team, obviously in a terrific position. I mean, you talk about a team that's fun to watch and united. But, you know, we could debate what the best conference is in football and men's basketball. And my goodness, between Stanford and Oregon State and UCLA, safe to say that there's going to be a cutthroat level of competition these next couple months in this league.
Oh, it's a gauntlet. Of course, the men, Utah beat Kentucky, so the men are coming to conferences is getting more competitive too nationally. But yeah, the women, boy, there's no sure thing that the Ducks are going to be first or even second with the Stanford and Oregon State. I mean, that's huge. And you know, it's going to be really fun to see. There's the nice thing, I mean, is Matt Knight Arena, when the women are there, they're averaging over 10,000 fans a
yep.
game. That's incredible.
Yeah, well, especially when you think at the tail end of the Westhead reign, they maybe got 10,000 for the entire Pac-12 season. And I don't think I'm exaggerating that much.
No, you're not. No, only like Oregon State would be the lift up the numbers because the Oregon State fans would fill it up. But as far as other games other than Oregon State, it was 800 to 1,200 or so. And that's too bad that fans don't come out. Actually, the teams that are down need your support as much as the ones that are up. But that's just the way people are. They're fair weather. They like to be with a winner. But it's an amazing thing that Kelly Graves has done. And boy, you know, next year's team might be better than this year's.
No, it's scary when you see how well Shelley and Winterburn and Cochran are playing with who also is returning. And, oh, now you throw in the 5 5-stars. So, yeah, it's awesome.
Well, there's only 7 5-stars when you count Nyaira,
oh, right.
Probably, and Sedona Prince.
All right, so in closing, once again, it's a great-looking edition of Ducks Illustrated. Hot off the presses, JT. Where can folks get it?
At your local Buy Marts, Dairy Marts, and Oregon Duck stores. I'm delivering as we speak, or at least when I get off the phone with you, so be a little patient. And a happy Festivus, Hanukkah, and Christmas to all.
Yeah, you too. Well done, JT. Have a happy. We'll talk soon.
All right.
All
thank
right.
You. I got a lot of problems with you people.
I knew right where you were going. All right, so Bethany just delivered me a gift from Gary.
Is the note for air? Because there were several notes on the front of it here.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Also, my goodness, in the middle of the segment, Bethany
I was
going to
open it up. It would have been the worst sounding thing ever.
Well, also that, but you're the most impatient person I've ever met. We've got these little stockings outside the studio as well, where people put little holiday gifts and notes and trinkets in, and one of the other people from the front of the office dropped something in there, and after the break, you walked over and pulled it out and grabbed it. You couldn't even wait till later to open it. It was incredible. And in the middle of a segment, you wanted to open wrapping paper into a microphone and everything, and then you forgot to read the note on the front? You've always got to read the card.
All right. So anyway, to Steve, saw this, thought of you, next time you're lonely for the Big Apple, fire up your phonograph. Many thanks for your insights, patience, and sports talk. Merry Christmas. Go Ducks. Go Zags. Gary.
Look who called, Steve.
And Gary happens to be on the air, and it's Liza Minnelli and Robert De Niro, New York, New York, the original motion picture score, which I haven't seen this movie probably in 25 years. De Niro playing a saxophonist. Seriously, can't make this stuff up. So, Gary, thank you. Merry Christmas and good afternoon. What's up?
Wasn't De Niro with the E Street Band?
Yeah, the big man.
Well, buddy, listen, just a quick thank you so much for all of the joy that you've given to us sports fans over the course of the last year, and we're hoping for many, many more.
All right. I appreciate your generosity and your many years of support. You get referred to as Gonzaga Gary so many times, especially when we get to the tournament, I can't even tell you. Although I guess I just did.
We're looking forward to more at this coming tournament.
All right. Hey, enjoy. Appreciate it very, very much.
Merry Christmas to all.
All right. Break time for us. We'll do that. We'll come back, and let's make sure I get it right. The Steve and Nick 3 pick.
Woo!
Next, 95.3 The Score.
We're riding the waves of technology just for you. You can call the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline at 284-8571. Text 321-0824. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953.
Rosevel, lovely run, great goal! Brilliant goal! Rosevel might have won the World Cup for the United States with a fantastic goal! The United States 2, the Netherlands 0.
Yeah, I went and pulled some of my favorite highlights from 2019. As you may have assumed, that was Rose Lavelle, the lefty dart to go up 2-0 on the Netherlands in the World Cup, the final, as Team USA clinches their fourth World Cup championship. You know, I took the time, I made my 3 pick, and now I've lost the sheet. I have no idea what I picked. What a perpetual putz. Okay, I found it. I'm all better. Each Friday we come at you with the Steve and Nick 3 pick, courtesy of the Oregon Lottery Sports app, which we are enjoying greatly talking about it, and of course, getting in on the action. Easy to download, right onto your phone. You could register from anywhere. You could make your wagers, this is the key, within the geographical boundaries of Oregon. Where do you go? Ask and ye shall receive, sports.oregonlottery.org. So right now, we're in pushland. We both went 2-1 our first week.
Correct.
If you notice, you could hear the plot thickening. So why don't
I thought that was the Christmas song.
Why don't you go first?
I'm starting things off with some hockey tonight at 6:05.
Okay.
The Penguins of Pittsburgh against the Oilers of Edmonton. I'm taking the under 6 in that one, -115. The Oilers were really hot to start the year. They've lost 5 of 6, scoring no more than 5 in any of them. But in their last 3, the totals were 5, 3, and 3. The Penguins have been hotter recently, winning 3 of their last 4, winning 6 of their last 7, but the totals 5, 1, 9, and 5. So feels like a close game, not a lot of scoring. Under 6 tonight, Penguins versus Oilers in the NHL.
What's on the telly? Looks like a penguin.
There it is.
I've been lying in wait for this one.
You've been lying?
Yes. I've said for months it's a joke Clemson isn't ranked number 1. Nothing has happened to indicate they're not still a team to beat. Everybody has close calls. They only have 3 teams that won all their games this year. That's only the second time this has happened since the birth of the BCS in 1998 among the power leagues. They won on the road, and now they have cut a devastating path to here. Crush, crush, crush. Next to fall will be Ohio State. Laying 2 points in this game is like stealing. I'm throwing down big on this one, then I'm going to press it when they torch LSU or Oklahoma. Tigers roll, -2.
Okay. I have another game from tonight. This time it's in the NBA, the Orlando Magic versus the Portland Trail Blazers. I have Lillard points plus rebounds plus assists over 36.5. Why? In Dame's last 4 games, he's averaged 26 points, 2 rebounds, and 9 assists. If you do some quick maths, that's 37. And in his last game against the Warriors team, he had 49 points, rebounds, and assists when you add them all up. And against a similarly struggling, okay, not so great Orlando team in the East with the Magic. Big crowd on a Friday night. Big game from Dame incoming. Over 36.5 points, rebounds, and assists for Lillard.
Nice. See, that's deep. That's when you know you have a lot of options to play.
Yes.
I'm going NBA tonight. points. Minnesota and Andrew Wiggins a mile high against Jokic and the Nuggets. Both teams had last night off. Denver's got six different players averaging double figures. They spread it out. They get good shots. So if the T-Wolves hold up their end with Karl Anthony Towns and Wiggins, supported by Jeff Teague and some good shooters, I'm going to say they go over the 216 total. A lot of points. They could get there.
All righty. Third and finally for me, in the Rams on 49ers Saturday night, I think it's 520, 515. I don't know. I wasn't really looking at the time. I was looking at the lines. I've got George Kittle over 5.5 receptions. That's minus 140. I really like the 49ers in this game. I thought about them money line or spread as well, but I really like this play with George Kittle because the 49ers lost really bad to a bad Falcons team. And George Kittle still had a great game. In his last, since week 10 when he came back from injury, he has had 1 week with less than six receptions, and that was against one of the better defenses in the NFL in the Ravens. Earlier this year against the Rams on the road, eight receptions on eight targets, 103 yards. I think on Saturday at home, Kittle's going to have a big one again.
All right, my last one takes us to tomorrow, the Chris Peterson Bowl, Boise State and Washington. I think the time off will benefit the defenses, which are good. Great chance for coach in waiting, Jimmy Lake, the coordinator, to put his unit on display. You saw BSU clamp down on a pretty good Hawaii offense in the Mountain West title game. I think we'll see a nice ground game from Suvan Ahmed. And this one is going to go, I'm saying low, under 48.5 in the Vegas Bowl, and no overtime. All right, that's a wrap again.
Appreciate the
support of the folks at the Oregon Lottery. The new sports app is fantabulous. Learn more, visit sports.oregonlottery.org. All right, before we move along and into our final hour of the little week I'm having, remember, this holiday season, our friends at Big Al State Farm want to make it easy for you to give life insurance and learn what a great gift that is. Can have many uses, and like he says, it's not like a toy. It won't break or go out of style. So if you contact them and get a life insurance quote this holiday season, either in person on Cal Young next to Dairy Mart or call 686-1522, Big Al will donate 100 meals to Food for Lane County. So you'll not only learn about something as important as life insurance and its value, but you could help feed the community, protect your family. Again, on Cal Young next to Dairy Mart, 686-1522, Big Al State Farm, here to help life go right. All right, looking ahead, oh my heavens to Murgatroyd, 1 hour left. We'll do that. We'll come back, 5 o'clock hour, 95.3, The Score.
If you surround yourself with turds, you're headed towards Turdville.